There have always been angry mobs, but now there's a new kind, online mobs. They can be vicious too.
Economics is complicated.
One such mob recently came for Harold Ulig, head of a top economics journal. The mob attacked Ulig, says writer Robbie Suave, because
he thinks defund the police is an unhelpful slogan.
Ulig had posted this tweet which said, "Too bad, Black Lives Matter just torpedoed itself with its support of defund the police."
You'd think that would be fine for a public intellectual to weigh in on that issue in that way. There was nothing racist or discriminatory in how he said it. And yet, some of the biggest names in the profession have called for him to lose this position.
Hundreds signed a petition demanding that.
Because he has some different views from the protesters, he must be a racist.
Ulig was placed on leave from the journal he ran. The mob even attacks its fellow Democrats. This analyst at a Democratic polling firm tweeted about a study that concluded riots reduce the share of Democratic votes.
I would think the rioting does hurt their cause.
That sort of behavior makes people fearful.
So all this young man does is tweet an article that's obviously true, and he gets fired?
Activists who don't want there to be any criticism tagged the employer and said, like, come get your boy. Within days, this public polling firm guy was let go from the position.
Come get your boy. It sounds creepy.
There's a cruel streak in activism that says, if you disagree with me, not only should you have no right to speak, but you're harming me. You're making me unsafe.
Oh my, holy katai!
A Major League Soccer team fired a player after his wife made racist posts. The editor of Bon Appetit resigned because one Halloween 16 years ago, he dressed like this. Staff members called this deeply offensive.
Why are they winning? Their argument is ridiculous.
Because people are afraid to challenge them. It just takes one employee at one company to say, well, here is the law that protects my right to feel safe and comfortable in this workplace. If you're not making me feel safe and comfortable, then I'm going to get you in trouble. I might even sue you.
And these cowardly corporations give in. Fire the people.
You protect yourself from some risk, from some liability, if you just give the loudest voice in the room, the squeakiest wheel, exactly what they want.
At CrossFit, the fitness company, CEO Greg Glassman was asked why he hadn't issued a statement about George Floyd. He answered, "Why should we mourn George Floyd other than it's the white thing to do?" Within a week, he was gone from the company.
Yes, a few CEOs have lost their jobs, but they have the money. By and large, they have the power. We white people have the power.
Well, of course, white people historically have benefited tremendously from their race.
So why should we listen to people like you? You're a white guy who grew up in the suburbs.
Yes, I have a tremendous amount of privilege. I've lived a very lucky life. I think I should be able to point out the inconsistencies.
Growing accusations of transphobia.
The cancel culture has moved beyond the U.S.
J.K. Rowling has been criticized recently for her comments about transgender identity.
In England, after this woman was fired for saying, merely identifying as a woman doesn't make a person a woman.
Anything you couldn't explain?
Harry Potter author Rowling defended her, tweeting, "Force women out of their jobs for stating sex is real?"
Outraged with a series of controversial tweets.
That made Rowling a target.
J.K. Rowling, silencio, you cruel rich dick.
But Rowling didn't back down. She said, "It isn't hate to speak the truth." Then she mocked a charity for using the phrase, "people who menstruate," instead of women. She tweeted,
"I'm sure there used to be a word for those people. Someone help me out. Wumbun, wimpund, woomud."
People called her tweets
cruel and inaccurate.
Some staff at her publisher called her transphobic and refused to work on her next book.
Don't give J.K. Rowling any of your money. Stop buying the books.
But Rowling's the rare person popular enough to be able to resist the mob. Her publisher stood up for her, saying freedom of speech is the cornerstone of publishing. That's how all these cases should be handled. And finally, one other piece of good news. Economic professor Harold Ulig, who lost his post after he was smeared by people like Paul Krugman. While we worked on this video, the University of Chicago announced it had investigated and there was no basis for taking his job. Harold Ulig has his editorship back.
the solution is to challenge these people. You just have to speak up.
Do you like these videos? Please help us make more. Press that button.
Overnight, Minneapolis on fire.
When Minneapolis burned after police killed George Floyd, people wondered, why would this happen in Minneapolis? This is a city where politicians do most everything the protesters say they want.
The crowd erupted in cheers as the council voted unanimously to move ahead with a $15 minimum wage.
If you wanted a poster child for the progressive movement, it would be Minneapolis.
Minnesota Senate candidate Jason Lewis.
This is the same city council that voted to abolish the police department.
The council, which has no Republicans, spends money on most every progressive idea.
Climate change resilience and 80% reduction in greenhouse gas emissions.
They applaud themselves for forcing businesses to give workers more time off. They pushed taxpayer-subsidized housing.
It took members less than 5 minutes to approve this ordinance.
They passed that higher minimum wage.
We have now won $15.
But despite all those progressive policies meant to make life more fair,
the Minneapolis income gap between whites and African Americans is the second worst in the country.
That confuses the media. Minneapolis had progressive policies, says the Washington Post, but its economy still left black families behind. They choose the word but. The word should be therefore, after all.
When you take away the incentive for work and savings and investment, you get less of it.
When government sends checks to people who don't work, more people don't work.
There's a sign behind you that says Waverly Job Center. You have any intention of going in to get a job?
Not looking for a job.
And guarantees like a higher minimum wage and forced family leave raise the cost of workers, which means some people never get hired.
In Minneapolis, we now recycle organics.
And the higher taxes to pay for all the programs mean some businesses never open.
I've been touring the businesses that were burned. They did not mention global warming, recycling, or the environment one single time. You know what they say? Give me low taxes and give me public order. If you don't have good schools, low taxes, and low crime, you're not going to have small businessmen and women investing their lifetime of savings to open a business.
A creative tax cut, creating more jobs.
That used to be the hallmark of the Democratic Party when John Kennedy used to talk about it.
Democrats did once argue that limited government would allow free people to create wealth.
Now it's some command and control economy. And quite frankly, they're not even shy about it in Minnesota. Ilhan Omar the other day said, we need to abolish capitalism.
As long as our economy and political systems prioritize profit, we will perpetuate this inequality.
So we can have equal poverty for everybody.
She doesn't say she wants equal poverty. She thinks her ideas will lift everybody up.
Show us, Ilhan. Where's it worked? And everything they're proposing hasn't worked, which is why we're talking about Minneapolis.
We raise our fists for the innocent black lives subject to racial discrimination.
I think those disparities were caused by a long trail of historic racism.
Cam Gordon is a Minneapolis councilman. He wins elections here because he's in sync with local voters.
So you do have allies inside of government.
Gordon tweets things like,
time to end capitalism as we know it.
That would be good.
How would it be good?
We could have more democratic control of our resources.
Every alternative to capitalism brings stagnation and poverty.
And I think that we can take care of each other better so that we're actually looking out for the vulnerable and the needy. And also making sure that we have an opportunity to right the wrongs of the past.
We are demanding justice, not just for Floyd, but for a corrupt system.
Because racism has never been over.
Who didn't want justice for Mr. Floyd? There was unanimity from everybody. The Democrat county attorney got the policeman charged in 4 days, the fastest ever. What does that have to do with abolishing our economic system?
They would say economic freedom just means white people, insiders, get rich.
But when we had this economic engine going before the lockdown, the people gaining the most were at the bottom end of the wage scale. A rising tide truly lifts all boats.
He's right. In the past 50 years, while progressives attack profits,
feed the rich and feed the poor,
that pursuit of profit, capitalism, lifted more than a billion people around the world out of the misery of extreme poverty.
The problem with capitalism as we know it is there seems to be this idea that we have to have constant growth.
Growth works. Growth lifts many of the poor.
But it lifts the rich much faster.
So what if the rich get filthy rich? If the poor do better too?
Capitalism as we know it's got us the housing crisis right now, and it's got us climate change that's actually going to destroy the planet.
But your ideas are going to bring poverty and tyranny. They have again and again. Every time it's
what
been
idea?
Tried. The idea.
What idea? Community-based economics?
These are families that are 42% black.
By community-based, he means the community will decide what everyone must be paid, what landlords may charge, even what grocery stores stock. Sure sounds like socialism to me.
When socialism fails, the apologists always say, we just didn't do it enough. We just didn't do it the right way. That's always been the case, and it's always failed.
Hope you like these videos. We count on you to keep them going. If you'd like to help us make more, please press that button. This 4th of July, when you watch the fireworks, will you think about this, the Declaration of Independence? We should, after all, the holiday's meant to honor this, not just fireworks. Though those are nice. Although it's ironic that since America's founding, government has grown so much that you may not be allowed to buy fireworks where you live. All these places ban them in the name of safety. The Declaration isn't about safety or things government should do. It's about limiting government. It's about freedom. The founders were sick of British oppression. They worried about government having too much power. Thomas Jefferson and his colleagues wrote the Declaration to create a new form of government, one where people could rule themselves. It worked. When the Declaration was signed, America was considered a backwater. But very few years later, America was the most prosperous and probably the freest country in the world. The 4th of July celebrates the Declaration, which led to the Constitution, the document that really lays out the rules meant to limit government. Trust no man with too much power, said Jefferson. Bind them with the chains of the Constitution. Its chains have done a lot of good. We have a right not to have our home searched without a warrant. A right to bear arms, to free speech. It's good we declared independence from Britain, because in Britain, government sentenced this man to more than a year in jail.
I've caused a breach of peace. I'm being arrested.
For making this Facebook Live video outside a courthouse. Others get locked up for things they write. Hundreds get arrested every year.
Sentenced for writing an offending comment.
Fortunately, in America, thanks to the Constitution, we can say most anything we want without being jailed. We also have a right to bear arms. But the country we rebelled against has
some of the strictest gun regulations in the world.
Those regulations haven't stopped crime.
February and March were the first ever months that London had more suspected murders than New York.
So now they're going after people who have knives. One British police agency bragged about a weapon sweep that found scissors and pliers. But don't worry, they've been taken off the streets. I'm glad I live in America where I can carry pliers and speak freely. And there's more to the Constitution than the First and Second Amendments.
Supreme Court overruled.
The Supreme Court overruled.
Supreme Court overruled.
The Constitution divided government power in ways that limit authoritarian politicians from both parties.
We are throwing them the hell out of our country.
Trump's own appointee ruled that a law making it easier to deport some immigrants was too vague.
Allow intelligence agencies to track who a terrorist is in contact with.
The Supreme Court stopped the Obama administration 100 times. No, President Obama, the Fourth Amendment says government cannot just search people's cell phones.
They have to get a search warrant.
No, you can't just declare carbon dioxide to be a pollutant.
A major setback tonight for President Obama's climate change initiative.
I'm glad we have this document. It has often kept presidents and Congress and judges from grabbing too much power. The limits stated in here have not fully succeeded. Unfortunately, Thomas Jefferson promised a wise and frugal government. Frugal? Give me a break. We're already more than $21 trillion in debt. Jefferson also wrote about leaving men free to regulate their own pursuits. Now we've got more than 180,000 pages of rules. Still, the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence have helped keep us free. That's something to celebrate. Do you voice your opinions? Watch out. You might get fired.
He has resigned, stepping down after controversial comments.
The opinion editor of the New York Times has just resigned.
You probably heard about this man losing his job because he approved an op-ed by Republican Senator Tom Cotton. It was headlined, "Send in the troops to restore order when there are riots." Sometimes reporters claimed
that is a dangerous, dangerous thing for the New York Times to have published.
Many tweeted the exact same wording, saying it put their lives in danger.
But it didn't put their lives in danger.
No, it didn't. It's absurd.
Robbie Suave reports on today's young radicals, like the ones at the New York Times.
Their union promoted it because that language spoke to a potential legal concern. Harassment law, that's their tactic for seizing power in the workplace.
Where did this tactic come from?
It's not a debate.
It started on college campuses.
I disagree with that.
Several years ago, this mob of angry students at Yale surrounded this professor.
Why can't you say sorry?
Saying sorry is never enough.
Look at me.
Yes.
Look at me.
Yes.
Your experiences will never connect to mine. Empathy is not necessary for you to understand that you're wrong.
What horrible thing had Professor Nicholas Christakis done? He defended his wife sending out a pre-Halloween email saying, whose business is it to control costumes of young people like turbans or headdresses just because they come from other cultures?
The message that you sent proclaiming that cultural appropriation on Halloween is totally permissible is hurtful.
I want to make sure.
They screamed at him for an hour. There's nothing he could say to them to convince them. They're just trying to punish someone, to humiliate someone who disagrees with their tactics.
I do not respect you.
I hear that.
I'm looking at the smirk in your face and I'm disgusted.
Okay.
But now I am actually angry, sir. I really, do not interrupt me. I was not angry, and now I want your job to be taken from you.
It was. He had to step down as head of a residential hall. His wife had to stop teaching. The mob won. It won at campus after campus. Now these students have graduated.
They're now moving off the campus and into the broader culture. And into the workplace.
Where they demand that people not say certain things. At the Philadelphia Inquirer.
There was an article published in the paper with the title, Buildings Matter Too.
It was a bad headline, linking buildings with black lives. 44 staff members claimed this carelessness puts our lives at risk. Their letter didn't give any evidence how it threatened their lives, but they won.
The top editor at the Inquirer resigned.
Then young activists at NBC News tried to silence The Federalist, a respected conservative site that NBC smeared as far right. What had The Federalist done? Published a column that said, correctly, the media had falsely claimed violent riots were peaceful. But it also quoted a government official saying tear gas was not used against rioters, which turned out not to be true. So NBC then claimed Google blocked The Federalist from advertising after NBC's verification unit brought it to Google's attention.
An apparent push by NBC to remove ads from The Federalist site.
The reporter even thanked left-wing activist groups for their collaboration. But it turned out that NBC's report was just wrong.
Google tonight saying that's not true.
So the activist mob failed here.
Jace is on the case.
Some people want to cancel Paw Patrol.
What the activists are saying, we should have fewer positive portrayals of law enforcement in the media.
Being a police dog takes a lot of hard work.
So some people said defund Paw Patrol for brainwashing kids into thinking law enforcement's noble and just.
But we're sitting here telling you that you are being racist, you are being offensive.
Today's young activists say, we know what's just, and it's our job to stop you from saying offensive things.
Who the hired you?
How can you allow someone to say something that offends me?
The problem with that is
we're supposed to occasionally offend each other because you might be wrong. We have to have a conversation about it. We have to challenge dogma. What if we were still with the principle that you couldn't speak out against the king? That's the history of the Middle Ages, is people suffering violent consequences for daring to offend people.
Galileo was arrested for saying the earth revolved around the sun.
That's the conditions that all humans lived under, and it was a much less happy place. Then we came to an idea that, no, we improve society by having frank and sometimes difficult conversations about how we're going to get along and live together.
But now, influential young people say some things must never be said.
It's starting at some elite media institutions, but I predict that it will spread out further unless a serious effort is made by people to confront it.
I hope you learned something from these videos, and if you'd like to help us keep making more, please click that button.
I cannot breathe.
You've seen the videos, not just George Floyd, but Buffalo. The tasing in Atlanta. Why are so many cops abusing their power, sometimes killing people?
The problem is when you have cops who are repeat offenders.
Bradley Balco reports on police abuse.
And the system doesn't eject those cops, but protects them.
The cop who killed George Floyd
has had 18 complaints against him, but only faced discipline for 2.
Often, bad cops, even when their bosses know that they're bad, are never fired. Because union rules keep abusive cops on the street.
The job of a union is to protect the interest of its members, really at any cost.
This officer's union argued that he accidentally hit the woman on the left. He was merely trying to knock a drink out of her hand. He was fired, but his union quickly got him his job back.
The union has negotiated a contract that makes it nearly impossible to fire them.
This officer was fired for repeatedly
challenging a prisoner to a fight.
Let's take the cuffs off, all right? Yeah, let's take them off.
But then technicalities in his union's contract forced police to reinstate him twice. That's why some people say
there's a strong argument to be made that we need to get rid of police unions entirely.
It's the last time we're going to tell you!
It's particularly different in the public sector where the people who want to form a union are armed and are entrusted with the power to arrest and detain and kill.
But what about the cop side of the story?
Nobody talks about all the police officers that were killed in the last week.
Police have a tough job.
Jumping on this windshield.
Oh boy.
Some officers were killed in the latest riots.
One woman hurling a Molotov cocktail at their police van.
When you ask a human being to go work in a police job, it's a difficult job for starters.
Larry Cosby runs America's biggest law enforcement association.
Why should there be police unions?
The unions are there for a reason. If you don't have these protections, then no one's going to want to be a police officer.
Actually,
there are places all over this country where there are no police unions. There's no shortage of police officers in those areas.
I asked Cosme why these Buffalo cops would do this.
They gave the person a lawful order. They gave an order to stand back. He did not comply.
Once he was on the ground bleeding, why didn't they stop and attend to him?
They should have, but I'm not going to Monday morning quarterback them. I wasn't there.
How about this case where protesters blocked a police car?
Let me explain something to you. What those officers did, they were protecting themselves. These crowds are throwing bricks at them. You get to a state of panic because you're in your vehicle. You don't know what to do. You can't go forward. You can't go backwards. So you try to get out of the situation.
One study found that after unionization, officers were 40% more likely to use violence. All the violent cops you'll see in this video have union protection.
99.9% of the time, police officers do an outstanding job. When I was working, everybody was very professional. If I saw something out of the ordinary, I would call somebody out on it. The police need to police themselves.
But you don't. This stuff keeps happening. They're not held accountable, especially the unionized officers. They do it again and again. It gets erased from their records.
It, No, they are disciplined. You also have to protect these men and women also. They have rights, too.
Of course they do. But police unions protect bad cops, and they also make departments hard to manage. In crime-ridden Camden, New Jersey, police took so much sick time and family leave that nearly 30% of the force just didn't show up. So Camden fired all of them.
They sort of had to, destroy it in order to save it.
Murder went down in Camden after they got rid of the unionized force.
Yeah.
Things got better.
They did get better for the community, but if you look at the statistics of the department, 65 to 70% of the officers are now gone from that department.
So what if it's better for the community?
It may be better for the community temporarily, but at the end of the day, that costs taxpayers money.
Costs money, he says, because Camden had to train new cops. But Camden says it actually saved money. Officer costs were trimmed by $80,000. That allowed Camden to double the size of its force to near the highest police presence of any city. Today's protesters rarely complain about police unions.
Now people are saying, defund the police.
Look at these second and third world countries where they don't live in a civilized society, where all the criminal and corrupt elements are taking over these countries. That's not what the majority of Americans want.
Studies do show that more police on the beat mean less crime. I want there to be cops around, but they should be police who are held responsible for their actions. When might we get a vaccine for COVID?
The race for a coronavirus vaccine will take 12 to 18 months.
Why so long? A big reason is that to make sure a vaccine works, researchers must recruit a big group of test subjects.
Half the group will receive the COVID-19 vaccine, and half will get a control vaccine.
Then they go out into the world, resume their normal lives, and the researchers wait. Wait for some subjects to get sick.
We're really not going to be able to enroll trials in July and August. There's probably not going to be enough virus here in the United States.
Or elsewhere, because the virus is disappearing so fast, there may not be enough sick people to test it on. As a result, it'll be months, if not years, until they know if the vaccine worked. Fortunately, there's a way to speed things up, if regulators allow it. It's called a human challenge trial.
A challenge means that you are intentionally exposing the participants of the trial to the coronavirus. So you're challenging them with the virus.
Carson Polterak, a member of a group called One Day Sooner.
I chose to volunteer.
People who volunteered to be infected with COVID.
I'm willing to be a subject.
They volunteered because a challenge trial might give us a vaccine sooner.
I want to play any role I can in not ending this crisis.
So far, more than 24,000 people from 100 countries have volunteered to be infected, saying, I want this to be solved already.
You're willing to take that much risk to help others. Why?
I think it's the right thing to do.
But people your age do die from COVID.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm 23. The risk of somebody in my age bracket from 18 to 30 who contracts the coronavirus, the risk of death is about 3 in 10,000, which is the same as if you were to donate a kidney. It's about twice as risky as childbirth in the United States.
We put people through risks in clinical trials all the time.
This bioethics professor published this paper on challenge trials that convinced Carson and others to volunteer.
There are those who see the challenges facing the nation and say, send me.
Some young people have long volunteered to fight wars for their country. Fighting coronavirus, they say, is like that.
This seems like the most important thing that I can do right now, maybe the most important thing that I will ever do.
But some bioethicists say injecting healthy people, even if it's a faster path to a vaccine, provides a moral dilemma. A challenge trial just shouldn't be done.
We need to wait before starting a trial.
If a bunch of individuals want to experiment, shouldn't it be their choice?
Well, a bunch of individuals just can't get together and experiment.
Why shouldn't they? Why doesn't the volunteer get to say, I'm an adult? It's my body. I get to make the decision.
We have moral limits to what you can do with your freedoms. We mandate that you wear helmets when you ride bicycles in some states. We say you have to wear a seatbelt for your protection.
A challenge trial may not save time anyway, says Dr. Miller.
In a challenge trial, you have to develop the challenge virus strain. Then you have to test it in animals first. Then you have to figure out the correct dose to expose humans to. That can take a lot of time. I've seen anywhere from estimates of 6 months to 18 months.
Actually, it might just take 2 or 3 months, says the inventor of the rubella vaccine. Then these volunteers who say, give me COVID.
I'm young and I'm healthy.
Could dramatically speed the arrival of a vaccine.
I'm not sure that the added risks to the participants are justified.
That's a decision that each individual informed volunteer can make for themselves.
It should be the individual's choice.
It's a risk that I'm willing to take.
This is the worst pandemic that we've had to face collectively, probably since the Spanish flu. So people are maybe more willing to consider things that we might have thought were extreme 4 months ago.
What's extreme about letting willing volunteers try something? Especially since
a 1 month difference could save 1,000 lives?
No, probably far more than that. Probably in the range of tens to hundreds of thousands.
Do you like these videos? If you do, please help us make more. Click that button.